Here on Daf Mem Amud Aleph, the first Mishnah, the two Mishnahs on this Daf. And this Mishnah is a continuation of the discussion about a Pikadon. But in this case, the Pikadon is produce, and there's a natural depreciation and chisaron, you know, the mice get to it over the course of time, and so forth and so on. And the Shomer, if he had the pikadon, this produce, in a certain designated area, he can certainly say to the mafkid, Harei shel chalfanecha. Again, assuming there was no reason to sell it. It wasn't the Yosef Mikdei Chisrona. But in our Mishnah, we're addressing a case where the pikadon of whether it be rice or whether it be spelt, whatever it might be, is mixed up together with the produce of the shomer, and therefore we can't exactly identify which are the peros of the mafkid. There's got to be some sort of a general percentage of chisaron, such that the shomer has to return X, and X is less than Y. We subtract the chisaron that we assume would have taken place. Obviously, we need the variable of zman and makom, and that's what the Mishnah says over here. Mafkid peros etzel chavero, and the shomer mixed those peros together with his own. So, how much of a chisaron of a devaluation should he assume, and that's going to impact on how much he's required to return to the mafkid? Hareza yotzi lo chisronos, what's the shear? L'chitim uli orez, tisha chatzoi kabin l'kar. So we have to talk about three things here. Number one, we have to know what chitin are, that's pretty clear, that's wheat. We have to talk about orez, that's not 100% clear, because we're going to soon talk about dochen. Dochen is classically interpreted as millet, orez is classically defined as rice, but that itself is a machlokas rishonim. And then, most important, we have to talk about the ratio here. You know, we have to reduce it to a certain percentage point. Now, if a kur has 30 saw, and a saw itself, in relationship to a kav, is 6 times a kav, we have a kur is 30 saw. There are 6 kabin in a saw. So you multiply 30 by 6 and you get 180. So there are 100 kabin in a kur. And the rate of attrition here is 9.5 kabin to a kur. So I took that as 4.5 kabin divided into 180, and what I got was 2.5%. So I hope I'm right in my math, but for the time being, let's assume that's the percentages, that's the shear of the depreciation or the spoilage with regard to chitin and orez. And then we move on to the case of siorin, which is barley, and dochen, which is called millet. And again, there are different types of millet. Is tisha kabin likur. So that's a rate of 5%. And then we have likusmin ulazera pishtan. So talking about flax seeds and spelt. Again, here in Israel today, kusmin is spelt. Is shlosha se'in likur, which I believe is 6%. And then the Mishnah gives a general rule of hakol lefi amid of hakol lefi azman. In other words, these shiurim, these percentages, are not fixed in stone, but they're relative to other variables such as zman and makom, the different seasons of the year, different places on the planet, weather conditions, etc. These are all meant to be taken into account. For example, you know, kusmin, I have a note here from the Tiferes Yisrael, could actually go up to 10% in certain places, etc., etc. Omar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, v'chima ichpas lahen liakbarim. What difference does it make, you know, how large of a quantity you have for the akbarim? The akbarim will eat a certain shear, whatever they usually eat. Hello, ochlos bein meharbi bein mikima. Whether it's a small amount or a larger amount, they're going to eat whatever they have to eat. Ella, but rather any yotzi lo chesronos ella lekur lekar echad bilvat. We should assume that he has a kur, and that's the way we're going to set the standards and the shear of chisaron. So the kur, as we said before, is 180 kabin, and we'll always use the kur as our measuring rod. Let's say, for example, in the case of chitin, right, which we said in the case of chitin, we were talking about a spoilage of 2.5%. And let's assume that there were 5 kuri chitin. The maximum amount that the shomer could subtract from the chitin is 9.5 kabin, which was 2.5% of one kur, even though there are 5 kurin. And in this case, you're working to the detriment of the shomer, because you're only allowing him, according to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, to subtract relative to one kur, and that's how the akbarim will fill up their bellies, and that's it. The addition of the extra 4 kurim does not allow the shomer to subtract anything more than the 9.5 kabin. Tosus Yadir Maskel Ella points out that according to this svara, let's say if the mafkid gave the shomer less than a kur, we would still, and here it's working to the benefit of the shomer, allow the shomer to subtract the same identical 9.5 kabin, because that's what the akbarim eat. So now you're allowing him an expanded amount. And Tosus rejects this. He says, if there's less than a kur, then for sure, even Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri would have to admit that the akbarim are going to eat less, because they can't. Normally the akbarim, when they have a larger quantity to eat from, they have places to hide and to push themselves in. But if they only have a small quantity to eat from, then you're only going to be menakeh, you're only allowed, the shomer will only be like a half of the cheshbon, let's say half of the shear of the Mishnah for a kur, because all you have is a chatzi kur. So Tosus basically maintains that this shita of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, you know, capping it at a kur, is to work to the detriment of the shomer, but not to his benefit. The Mishnah continues. Rabbi Yehuda Omer im Haisa Mida Meruba Eino Motzi Lo Chisronos Mipneshim Osiros. Now, Rabbi Yehuda is taking into consideration the rainy season. In rainy season, there's a certain process of absorbing moisture, which is called misnafchos. Misnafchos means nefach. The nefach and the volume is enlarged. So you have fruits which during the dry season, the summer season, are limited in volume, and they expand in their volume due to the moisture of the hagshom. So let's say the mafkid, let's assume as a general rule, deposits the peros into the hands of the shomer during the summer months, when the peros are dry and somewhat shrunk and limited in volume. Then the shomer returns the peros to the mafkid in the winter months, the rainy season, when the peros are more menupachim as a result of the moisture of the rains and the cold and so forth and so on. So that nefach counterbalances any sort of chisara. You know, you have two factors working in two opposite directions, one up and one down. Chisaron means the amount of spoilage of the akbarim and recovered and so forth and so on, and that reduces the volume, but on the other hand, the nefichus that's caused by the absorption of moisture, that expands the volume, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, one sort of balances the other. Again, the Gemara is going to have a long discussion here about Rabbi Yehuda, so we'll wait to see that. The Gemara now objects to a simple reading of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that in the case of Orez, the Shomer is allowed to subtract no more than Tisha Chatzoi Kavin, which we said is 2.5%. And the Gemara objects and says, Orez Tuva Chaser. The case of rice is something that that spoils at a much faster pace, and the Gemara knows this from the science of the day, from the reality of the day. Omar Rabba Bar Chanam, Rabbi Yochanan, be Orez Koluf Shanui. There are two types of Orez. There's Orez with its klipa, with its covering, in its natural form, and there's Orez Koluf, which means they removed the klipa of the Orez. It's been peeled away. In the case of a peeled Orez, the Orez actually spoils at a slower rate in the case of Koluf. In the case of natural rice, you know, like whole grain rice, where they did not remove the klipa, there, that's what we used to, the shear of spoilage is greater. Possibly because, you know, the Orez She'eno Koluf, the Orez in its natural form, is more familiar, more attractive to the elements, you know, to the Akbarim, I don't know. Now, it's interesting that the Gemara doesn't go ahead and give us an alternative shiur for the case of Orez She'eno Koluf, meaning Orez in its natural form, so that you could go kind of guess. Now, in the case of Kusmin and Zerapishtan, the spelt and the flax seeds, it says Shloshasin Lakuram Rab Yochanan Rab Chia Zerapishtan Begiv Olim Shanu. This is a reference to flax seeds in its natural form, which are these flax seeds are covered by a givol, you know, some sort of a natural covering, and in such a case, these coverings generally dry up and they fall off, and therefore there's a very high percentage of chisaron, which we said we jacked it up, I think it was to 5%, if I remember correctly. However, let's say you had flax seeds which were already peeled and the givol was removed. In such a case, the shear of spoilage is that much more limited, to the detriment, again, of the shomer, so you can't subtract as much as 5%. Tanya nami hachi lekusmin ulzera pishtam begiv olim uli orez sheino koluf shlosha se'in lekur. I think that was 6%, if I remember correctly. So then this price is supporting our thesis here in this sugya, that if you have orez sheino koluf, or you have kusmin and zera pishtam begiv olim, again it's eino koluf in its natural state. That's where the shear of the Mishnah is applicable. But if, on the other hand, you've removed the peel, in both the case of flax seeds and in the case of rice, which is called koluf, then the shear is a smaller shear, and the shomer loses in that case. The percentage goes down. The Mishnah, though, generalizes the rule of Hakol Lefi Hamida Hakol Lefi Hazman. The Gemara quotes a Braisa Tana, Kain Lechol Kur Vekur V'chein Lechol Shana V'shana. That when the Shomer is allowed to subtract a percentage due to the spoilage, etc., then it is on an annual basis, and that's called l'chol kor v'kor. I'm sorry, that's called l'chol shana v'shana, hakol l'fi hazman. And the first part of hakol l'fi amida means for each kor, he's allowed to remove a certain percentage. That's before Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri has a different approach. Om Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Rabbi Yochanan says that v'chima ichvasan l'gabarim, in other words, it doesn't matter whether it's harbe or kima, and therefore this principle of hakol l'fi hamida of l'chol kar v'kar doesn't apply according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Tanya omru lo, the chacham turned to Rabbi Yochanan, they said to him, harbe ovdos mehen v'harbe mispazros mehen. In other words, even if the achbarim are not going to eat more just because there are more peros, but nevertheless, if there are more peros, you still nevertheless have to subtract more, because the achbarim are not the only enemy of these peros, and that's not the only factor to consider, the only variable to consider when you're talking about spoilage and simtzum aperos. There's another factor, let's say, for example, ovdos, maybe there's a natural spoilage, and there's mispazros, you know, some of the fruits tend to get lost and spread out, and so forth and so on. Tosfos says another factor here, and that is that maybe the akbarim, when they see a greater volume, they call in their friends, and it becomes a whole hoopla, a whole party here. Tana, the Brisa says, b'medvar mamurim, when does our Mishnah apply, presenting to us a standard shiur for how, what percentage from each kind of produce you will reduce, you will subtract? That's she'irvan imperosov. The shomer mixed his peros together with that of the mafkid, and the Meiri says that really he shouldn't have done so, but he went ahead and did so, or perhaps he got the reshus from the Bailim to do so. Aval, but if yiched lo keren zavis, if the fruits, the produce of the mafkid are designated in a certain place, a certain corner, and it was never mixed with his fruit, then omer lo areshel chalfanecha. There's no need to apply the rules, the yardsticks of the Mishnah. Just whatever it is, it is. Here's your fruit, and take it. The Gemara asks, "V'chi ervan in peros of my havi lechze l'didei kama havyon?" So, what if he mixed his fruits, the shomer's fruits, with that of the mafkid? I still don't understand why you need the shear to define the chisaron. Why can't the shomer just simply look at his peros, see how much was depreciated, how much was lost to the elements, and assume that percentage is applicable to all the fruits, wherever the fruits of the mafkid are mixed up in this tarovis? And the Gemara answers, bit mistopic mehen. We're talking about a situation where the shomer takes fruits from this mixture and he eats them, and therefore he doesn't know to evaluate, to figure out the volume of the peros that are still there, which peros, kama mehem hem mi peros apikadon, meaning it's very possible that the fruits that he's taken away from this produce, from this mixture of produce, is his own produce, and he doesn't know what percentage of spoilage there was. So the Gemara asks, v'lechse kama istapek. Well, why can't he figure out the volume of the peros of the pikadon by figuring out how much he's taken away? Okay, so we'll read the translation here. He says, "Sheyira shomer kamis tapik lufize yedas kamus shel peros hapikadon." He can definitely calculate what percentage or what volume of peros here belong to the mafkid, because he knows how much he's taken out. Deloyadi kamis tapik. Again, the situation is where he doesn't know how much fruit he has removed from this mixture, and that's the situation in which the Mishnah teaches us the various shiurim of chisaron, as we saw in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda omerim hoisa mida meruba ena motzi lo chisronis v'neishem osiros. Kama mida meruba. What does it mean that there's a massive amount of produce, and therefore during the winter months, it expands with the nefichus that's due to the moisture? Omar Rabba Bar Rachana, Omar Rab Yochanan, Asara Korin. So we're talking about a major volume of produce, and that's where we have to introduce the mosiros, the nefichus. Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a braisa to support this. Kama himido meruva asara korin. Now, why does Rabbi Yehuda add this condition that it's got to be such a large volume? After all, the nefichus of the moisture should apply no matter how many fruits you have, and that's going to become clear in just a few minutes. Tani Tana Kameder of Nachman. There was a Tana which was teaching Mishnayos and Braisos and taught a Braisa in front of Rav Nachman. V'medvar Mamurim, when does the Shomer have a right to subtract Chisronos due to a natural spoilage? That's only Shemodad lo mitoch garno. The Shomer received these fruits and they were measured by the mafkid in a utensil which was a midah gdola. In other words, in the granary itself, the same midah, again, it's exactly the same midah, but it means two different things, one in the house for private use and one in the goren for sales and purchases. V'hichzir lo mitoch grona. And the shomer again measured out the produce to return it to its mafkid, also in the granary. And therefore, the same midah that he received is the midah that he returned. And now, based on the percentages established by the Mishnah, we can calculate the chisronos. Avol modad lo mitoch garno, v'hichzir lo mitoch beso, eino yotzi lo chisronos v'nei mosiros. That same midah, which is used in the granary, becomes a smaller measurement in the bias, so that if he's returning, you know, and measuring out, let's say, the same kur that he got from the granary when he received the pikadon from the get-go, that same kur is now a smaller volume when he's measuring it out from his house. Because again, even though it's called a kur, in the house they use a smaller measure. So there's already a loss here but to the mafkid when the payers are being returned based on the meat of the house. And what this braisa establishes is that loss is equivalent to the loss of the chisronos. And therefore, each one cancels out the other. The shomer no longer has the right to use the chisronos midah of our Mishnah because he's already created a chisaron, he's already reduced the volume based on the fact that he's using a kli to measure this produce in his house. Avolei, so Rav Nachman says, v'chi b'shuftenei askin, and shuftenei means idiots. Are we dealing with people who are lacking in intelligence? The yavi b'chayla rabba v'shokli b'chayla zuta. What's with this mafkid here? He gives and measures out his produce when he gives it over to the deposits in the hands of the shomer with a gigantic measuring stick. And then when he gets it back, they use a smaller measuring cup. How can he do that? That's stupid on his part. Dilma, perhaps what you have in mind here is bimos agoren ka'amrit. We're talking about during that period of time when the produce is brought to the granary. And this is what we have to say here. Again, we're going back to the braisa of Bamedvar Mamurim, but let's rewrite the braisa. Bamedvar Mamurim, when does the Shomer have rights to subtract the chisronos? That's only Shem Modad Lo Bimos Hagoren. When the original calculation, the measurement was during the summer months, when the, you know, after the spring early or early summer harvest, and in the granary, that's when they are measuring it all out. And let's say within that short period of time of the summer months, the mafkid comes to collect his peros and the shomer returns his peros. Fine. If months go by, the original pikadon was given to the shomer during the summer months when everything's packed up, you know, in a very tight sort of dry volume, and now he's giving it back b'mos hagshomim, and now the same exact fruit now takes up a lot more volume in the kli medida, in the measuring thing, is then eni yotzi lo chisaron, because the reason why the fruits have expanded in their volume is because of the gshomim, which means that the nefach has expanded the volume of the gshomim. And this is exactly what Rabbi Yehuda said, and that's what he meant. His reasoning was that in the case of Asara Kurin, there's going to be an addition of a nefach, of an expansion due to the absorption of moisture that counterbalances the chisara. And therefore Rabbi Yehuda holds, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that even in the case of Amida Meruba, we have to calculate the chisaron of one kur. And therefore, if the pikadon was asara kurin, then the shomer cannot subtract the chisronos. Meaning that Rabbi Yehuda would certainly agree that this issue, this reality of nefichus in yemos hagshamim, is applicable no matter how much of a volume of produce you're dealing with. It doesn't have to be a larger volume. Even a smaller volume will become bloated by the absorption of moisture. However, Rabbi Yehuda mentions Asar Kabim to tell us, and by the by, another Chiddush, and that is that he adopts the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that even in the case of a greater midah, we still have the same chisaron. That would apply, let's say you have 10 kurim, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the chisaron is exactly the same, 9.5 kavin, as it would be for one kur. So that if the mafkid left asara kuvim, the shomer who has the rights to subtract 9.5 kavim would not have that right to do so if he was returning the fruits in the winter period of time, because the nefichus would certainly counter the 9.5 kavim. The Gemara asks the kasha now, Amalei Rav Papa Labayim Kain, if you're telling me that these fruits add a certain nefach, the volume expands during the Mosak Shomim, then let's take a case where he takes the peros into its container, it's in the receptacle during the Yemos HaGshamim, and now he closes up those kalim, you know, that jar with what's called a magufa. He really seals it down with a concrete seal. Is then lifka kado? Let's do an experiment, says Rav Papa. Let's take a certain amount of peros and, you know, fill up an entire jug, close it down. And are you telling me that it's going to absorb moisture? If that be the case, then there's going to be an explosion over here, because the kad has been filled up to its top. Now the nefichus, the volume of the peros, has expanded. It's going to completely break it. It's going to explode. And the Gemara says, Avi uvdu poka kad einu chinami. There was a case where they did such an experiment. I don't know if they did it as a scientific lab experiment, you know, with intention, but it happened. And that's what happened. The kad just completely broke down. Nishbar kad, as we would say. Eboy, same, the Gemara says, it's not necessary that the kad would actually break down. It's possible that mishum itzitza, which means that if you squash, you know, a certain amount of produce, let's say grains, for example, into a small limited jug, then the moisture will not be able to seep in and cause nefichus. But barring that exception to the rule, as a general rule, there will be nefichus, there will be an expansion due to the moisture. The Mishnah talks now about the case of a person who's mafkid a chavis of yayin, and the shomer went ahead and he mixed his wine together with the wine of the mafkid. And again, we want to know what's the percentage of chisaron here. Yotzi lo shtus liyayin. In other words, yayin gets reduced by 1/6. Now, why is that so? What is it, evaporating? What's happening here? So if you look in Rashi, you'll see the maskal yayin that we're talking about, the blias hakankanim. In other words, they used wooden caskets for wine, and the wood was porous and absorbed some of the wine over the course of time. So that's a percentage of a shtus, 1/6. So the shomer can return 1/6 of the, he can return 5/6 of the volume of wine that he received from the mafkid. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, chomesh. And the Gemara is going to analyze whether there's actually a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakamo. They're talking about two different realities, two different kinds of kalim, and so forth, but Rabbi Yehuda says 1/5. Now, a person who deposits oil in the hands of a shomer is yotzi lo shlosha lugim shemen lemea luk. Here we have a percentage of 3%. Now, why is the shomer returning only 90% of the oil that he received from the mafkid? Log umechza shmarim, velog umechza bola. 1.5% is attributed to the sediments, right? Every oil which comes from olives, there's a certain sediment in the olive, which is no longer part of the pure oil that he returns to the mafkid. And for this, we'll have a whole sugya. And another 1.5 is attributed to the blias hakankanim, to the amount of absorption into the walls of the oil barrels. Im hoya shemen mizukak, let's say the mafkid gave pure shemen that was already subject to a long process in which the shmarim, the sediments, were removed, so the shomer has pure shemen, that's what he received from the mafkid. And yotzi lo ashmarim, he cannot subtract the 1.5 due to shmarim, to sediments. The imhayu kankanim yishonu, and if these containers, these receptacles, were old barrels, and yotzi lo bela, he cannot subtract the 1.5 of absorption because old barrels don't absorb. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af hamocher shemen mizukak lechavero kol yemos hashana. A person who sells, now we're going now with a major transition from the laws of shomer and hashavas hapikadon to the laws of mocher and lokeach. So the buyer, the lokeach, agreed to a certain deal on a certain volume of shemen. And in this case, the agreement was on shemen mizukak, which means that all the sediments have been removed. Is hareza makabel olav log umechza shmarim lemea. In other words, the shemen is first in the hands of the mocher, and let's say the buyer, over the course of time, will take from the barrel of oil a certain amount of oil, ma'at ma'at, as we say, yistapik menu akone ma'at ma'at, and this is going on during the entire course of the year. Is what does it mean? Hareza, the kone, the buyer, accepts upon himself logu mechze shmarim lemeil lug, 1.5. In other words, even though he paid for meil lug, he'll only receive 98.5 log, because he has to understand from the get-go that what he agreed to buy is only 98.5% of 100 log of shemen zakuk. The other 1.5 is sediments. So again, even though the deal was that he's buying shemen mezukak, what he meant to agree to was 98.5% of the mea luk of shemen mezukak. So the subtraction is built into the understanding of the deal of the transaction between the mocher and the lokeach. And the Gemara is going to discuss why and how is that so. Just want to suggest to you the interpretation of the Rashba of this last statement of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. The Rashba understands that the contract was not on Shemen Mezukak, the way we understood it, but rather there was a Mechira on Shemen Stam, in quotation marks, Stam. What it means is that the Shemen was never transferred in a barrel over to the Kona, but rather the shemen remains in the barrel of the seller, and the buyer comes and takes whatever he needs during the course of the year from that barrel. So the barrel is designated 100 lugs worth of shemen for the lokeach. The lokeach paid him for that, and the oil remains in the barrel of the mocher, and during the course of time, he, the lokeach, is going to take out shemen according to the need of the moment for his table or for his salad or for whatever, and he's going to be taking out shemen zakuk, right? Because the sediments, let's say, are falling to the bottom of the barrel. And therefore, the koneh, although he's actually only taking and receiving shemen mezukak, pure shemen without the sediments, nevertheless, the mocher is allowed to subtract the 1.5, because since the Kona bought this barrel of 100 lug, he, the Kona, the buyer, understood from the get-go that he's only going to get 98.5 as he is mistopic, as he takes out the shemen over the course of the year. That's how the Rashba understands this Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. The Magid Mishnah in Hilchos Mechira in the Rambam has a different understanding of this case. And he has a machlokas in the case where the buyer purchased shemen mezukak, and he claims that according to Rabbi Yehuda, even the case where the explicit agreement was on shemen mezukak, nevertheless Rabbi Yehuda would allow the buyer to supply 98.5 lugim rather than the 100 lugim. And the Chachamim of Rabbi Yehuda disagree, but they would agree in the case of the Rashba of Shemen Stam that the Mocher has the right to subtract the 1.5% for Shmarin. The Gemara now explains and analyzes the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda v'lo Pligi. There is no machlokes between the 6th and the 5th of the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda as far as the Chisaron of a Chovetz Shel Yayin, but rather Marki Asrei Umarki Asrei. They're talking about two different realities, two different places, locations on the face of the globe. And the Asrei Demar, in the place of the Tanakhama, Chafu Bekira, what they used to do is they used to line the inside of the barrels with Chafu is to line, with Kira is wax. Velo Mayitz Tfei, and there's a very limited amount of absorption. Since the barrel has been lined, the inside of the barrel has been lined with wax, and therefore the maximum you can subtract is 1/6. But the Asri Demar, in the case of Rabbi Yehuda, Chafu Bekufra, they used to actually line the inside of the barrel with tar, Umayitz Tfei, and the barrels would therefore be able to be bolea more. There was more of an absorption. In the case of wax, there's a limited amount of absorption. The wax is very, very tough and doesn't have pores. But in the case of zefet, which is called kufran in Aramaic, then there's more of an absorption, and therefore the percentage goes up to 1/5. And that's Rabbi Yehuda. But they're talking about two different locations. Ibois Eben, the Gemara, has another possibility. And again, there's no machlokas here, but rather, mishum gargishta. What it means is that the different shiurim reflect the kind of ground that you had in various locations. Ha, Maitzah Tvei, Ha, Lo Maitzah Tvei. In the area of Rabbi Yehuda, there, the ground, the earth from which they made these earthenware barrels, were very porous, right? The clay and the china was very porous, so there was a maximum blia of 20%, whereas in the case of the Tanakama, the earth was much less porous, and therefore the pottery had less absorption power, and therefore it was only an absorption of 1/6. And now the Gemara gives a story, the Asrei de Rabbi Yehuda, Ramu Arboim Vitamne Kuzi Bidona. Now, there's a small measuring midah, which is called a kuzah,